It's great to have you back on the show again, Dr. Ashby. Can you tell us, when did non-Africans start to move into Egypt proper?
It was not until later periods when Egypt started being conquered by outside forces, the Persians, the Assyrians, then the Greeks and the Romans, that we start getting a more diverse population of people moving into this incredibly rich area along the Nile.
One of the things that I realized just trying to understand the timeline, you use terms like the New Kingdom. That means nothing to a person who doesn't know the history of Egypt at all. Mm. If there's a New Kingdom, does that mean there was an Old Kingdom? And what timeline are we talking about? And Doc, I really get confused with this AD, BC, and we start counting back. So
yes,
when you say 4,000 BC is long ago, but 2000 BC is closer to our timeline. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am. So really it is a total, a calendar built around the birth of Jesus Christ. So anything that is happening in the before the BC, before Christ period, is necessarily counting down to that theoretical year zero when Jesus was born. And so we're counting down from these really high numbers, thousands of years before Jesus was born. And so I'll just, if I may, really briefly go through the different kingdoms that are part of this really long 3,000 years Egyptian history. So there's the pre-dynastic period when there are people living in the Nile Valley, but they've not yet come together in a unified state or a powerful kingdom. And that first happens around 3000 before Christ, so 3000 BC. And so then we have a couple of short dynasties, so series of families ruling, and the Old Kingdom then, those people who established their capital at Memphis, which is now sort of buried under modern day Cairo in northern Egypt, and built the Great Pyramids at Giza, that's about 2600 BCE, BC. So we have moved forward now 400 years. And this is an amazing ancient kingdom. They build really great, huge monuments and develop the Egyptian script called Merunetcher, in Greek known as hieroglyphs. But then that kingdom sort of falls apart. And so there's an intermediate period until the Egyptians reunify their country. And then we have what's called the Middle Kingdom. So that's about 2000 BC to about 1850 BC. So about 150 years. And this is considered the classical period of ancient Egypt. So amazing literature is written. We have really powerful kings. I've written articles talking about how some of their queens, I think, are Nubian women who are marrying into the royal family. And then again, the country falls apart. There's no more centralized rule until the New Kingdom. And that starts around 1550 BC. Its power base is in the south, much like the Middle Kingdom, and they go ahead and reconquer the whole Nile Valley in Egypt and establish the New Kingdom. And this is the phase of Egyptian history with the pharaohs that most people are likely to know, like Akhenaten and his wife Nefertiti, Akhenaten's ancestors, Thutmose III, who grew Egypt's empire to its greatest extent, his aunt, stepmother, Hatshepsut, the female pharaoh. Tutankhamun is in that New Kingdom period as well. And then Egypt, it sort of falls apart again around 1000 before Christ. And then there is sort of this period of disarray and then foreign invasions into Egypt. And one of those invasions, which Egyptologists like to call foreign, but I tend to see as an indigenous Nile Valley reunification, is when the Kushite kings from further south in Nubia come into Egypt and establish their rule there as Egypt's 25th dynasty. And that's from about 750 before Christ until about 650, so about a 100-year period.
And those were known as the Black Pharaohs, correct?
Yes, and we're really trying to push back on that sort of terminology because as so many others with whom I work have said, calling them Black Pharaohs implies that the other pharaohs in Egypt were not black, and that is not true. If we're saying that Egypt is an African civilization, calling this particular group of pharaohs from the south black and not the other pharaohs implies that they may have been otherwise, and I don't see it that way.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to another segment of Reclaiming History. I am interviewing Dr. Solange Ashby. She is an Egyptologist and a Nubiologist. I want to talk about the Nubians. You are a Nubiologist, and you mentioned the Nubians a lot in your book. What role did the Nubians play in the culture and religious practices of the Egyptians, and how is that related to the temple at Philae?
Mm-hmm. So there's a long and a short answer to that. I'll try to do something in between, but I like to say, and it is true, that the Egyptians and the Nubians arise from one people in this pre-dynastic period. So like 5,000 years before Christ, cattle pastoralist wandering around the Sahara that was a green savanna at that point due to changes in climate. But then when it starts to get dry around 4,000 before Christ, those same people, small population groups, move to the Nile to get refuge and to find water for the cattle that they are herding. And so in the beginning, before there was an Egypt, before there was a Nubia, they were just this population group that was cattle herders in the Green Sahara. And so I like to point that out to start. They essentially start as the same people, but then they develop very differently. And so during the pharaonic period, during this period of kingship in Egypt, I've become very interested in tracking the Nubian presence throughout all of these phases of Egyptian history. So I published an article in 2018 talking about these wives of a Middle Kingdom pharaoh named Mentuhotep II, who seemed to me very clearly to be Nubian women. But Nubians are just showing up everywhere. A 12th dynasty king, so also Middle Kingdom ruler, tells us that his mother came from Ta Seti, which is an Egyptian way of calling Nubia. So there are just Nubians throughout all of Egyptian history. But my book focuses really specifically on the role of Nubian people over essentially a 1,000-year period at this sacred site of Philae, which is a temple complex built on an island in the middle of the Nile. It's such a beautiful setting.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to another segment of Reclaiming History. I have a very special guest on the line.
Dr. Solange Ashby, Egyptologist.
Dr. Ashby, is there anything else that you want our listeners to know about your work or anything new that you're getting ready to start?
Yes, I'm really pleased to say that I've been awarded a President's Postdoc Fellowship at UCLA. And so this is going to allow me to really read, research, and write for a year or two. And I will be publishing a second book specifically about these Kushite queens and Nubian women in particular. And then when I'm done with that postdoc, I will start teaching at UCLA. I'll start a tenure track position there. And my goal really and I'm just going to keep speaking it into existence, is to establish the first ever doctoral program in Nubiology, because at this point, sadly, there's not one in the entire world, but look for one sometime in the next few years at UCLA.
Thank you, Dr. Ashby, for joining us this evening.
Thank you.